your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your way to the book of 1 Peter. We'll look at several different verses throughout 1 Peter. If you'll remember last week, this is a continuation, by the way, of last week, so this is what we didn't get time to cover, and so this is kind of where we had talked about last week, the anatomy of a backslider and the various steps that is involved in becoming, if you will, a backslider. And we talked about pride was one of those, a very boastful manner of, I would never deny my Lord. I would even go to the grave for my Lord. Pridefulness, and then we looked at laziness, how that Christ had given a simple command, and even the simplest of commands could not have been followed. They were told to keep watch, and poor old Peter kept falling asleep. And so there was a lack of diligent preparation on their part for the task that was ahead. And I don't remember if I made mention of this last week, but I'll make a side note on that now. We as Christians need to be diligent, right? We need to be in preparation for the work that is ahead. I strongly believe that, I know we are in those last days. And you say, well, preacher, we've heard that all of our lives. And that is true. Because according to scriptures, from the time that Christ ascended back into heaven, they were in the last days then, right? Because he said, behold, I come quickly, and that no man knows the hour when I shall return. And so we are indeed in those last days with the events and the way things are lining up, prophetically speaking. We need to be diligent about our work. And so laziness was another step into that backslide. And before you know it, as you would go from that laziness down to cowardness, where we saw that Peter followed Jesus from a great distance or from afar off. And so it is something for church folk, Christians, who claim and profess to be Christians, to be ashamed of the gospel, to be ashamed of Christ. And so we have that that step of cowardness. But then we slowly drift into the step of worldliness, where Peter was not only following from a distance, but he had become so distant from Christ that he was perfectly comfortable with sitting among worldly folk and even warming himself with their fire, if you'll remember. And I made the comment that sometimes we need to be careful with being friends of this world, because being comforted by thy fire, you can rest assured that at some point you will be burned. And so he went from that worldliness into that final step of backslidden state, and that was when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to be careful of our walk this side of eternity, in how we walk and how we present ourselves, and make sure that we don't fall into this state of being backslidden. So we are called to be walkers with Christ and to stand with Him side by side, even through the suffering that will come because of that. Not to be standoffish, not to be following from a distance. And I was talking with someone this week about, and I forget what the conversation, even how it ended up like this, but that's just how conversations go oftentimes. We don't know how they end up where they end up, but nonetheless, we got to talking about Christ and His popularity in the beginning, and how that every time where Christ was, there was always what? There was always a crowd. Right? Lots of people usually come to Christ. And And I made the comment, I said, well, that may be true, but we must also understand that while there was great crowds where Jesus was, not everybody in that crowd liked Jesus, right? Not everybody in that crowd was a supporter. There were some skeptics and some critics and those that would be they're just as happy if this man didn't come through their town, right? And so we have to be careful that just because something seems to be popular and something seems to be good, that it is not always the case. And so we need to be aware of that. We need to not be comforted by the world. And so that's what we covered last week. Today I want to carry on to part two of that message and to give advice, all right, from one who learned the hard way. Now, I often tell people that come to me and ask for opinions or advice, I'll tell them, are you sure that you want that? Because we have to be careful when we ask some people their opinion, especially, but also for advice, because sometimes it's not always what we want to hear, right? And so, who better to give advice on this subject matter than one who has been there, who has lived this backslidden life? And so I want to look at 1 Peter, chapter number 5, to start with. How do we guard ourselves from becoming a backslidden Christian? Well, first of all, we talked last week about pride, how that was the first step, right? So Peter tells us to guard against pride in 1 Peter chapter number 5, down in verse number 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we need to guard ourselves against this pridefulness. And so Peter enjoins this humility, right, to become humble. And so he says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So this is a switch, right? We need to turn, and we may say, well, I would never deny my Lord, but you know, there are times that perhaps in our carnal human mind that we have indeed denied him. And so we need to not say, I would never, you know, I would die for you. Well, that's being prideful. We need to guard against that. So he tells us to be humble, to ward against this laziness. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, down in verse number 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What in the world is he saying here? You know, some have said, you know, it rains, or the scripture actually says, it rains on the just and the unjust, right? The same troubles and trials that perhaps people of the world go through, dear friend, we're not immune to that, right? We have troubles and we have trials. And notice here what he says in verse number 8. It says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Have you ever watched a lion when it's seeking out its prey? What does it do? It doesn't just go up to it, right? It usually is watching its prey. And it's hunkered down a little bit, maybe even in some shrubbery or some grassy area, and he's watching his prey, and he's knowing that prey's every move that he is making until the time is right, right? And then what does he do? In that vulnerability, when that other animal, its prey, is not expecting, right? It's not looking at him. It's not looking around. It's completely caught off guard, right? And the lion knows this. And what does he do? It pounces and it goes after its prey because the prey was not on guard, right? And so the scripture says here, I like how it uses that metaphor there, that this devil, Satan, is as a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking, right, looking for whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter commands this diligence. Dear friend, if there was ever a time for us to be diligent, it's now. We need to be diligent. We need to be spreading the gospel. We need to be showing others the word of God. You'll remember we talked about cowardness last week, where again Peter was following at a distance. He was following from afar off. But go back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 16. It says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. If any man suffer as a Christian. I think I've shared this with you before. Sometime back, there was a lady stuck on. This was back when I worked in the legal services, and I was out. I was actually on my way to serve a summons to someone, and this lady was on the side of the road, and she had had a, it was rain, it was pouring down rain, and she had had a flat tire. And so I stopped to assist her. I don't like doing that a lot of times, but I wasn't afraid this particular time because, like I said, I was on my way to execute a summons, and so I was, you know, I was ready for whatever for the most part. And so I pulled off and to help this lady, and she was happy. And I was like, why? You know, and she went on to tell, you know, all these struggles and troubles she has been having. It's been one of those weeks, and I think we all can understand one of those kinds of weeks. And she said, you know, this is just another event that has happened that just added to it, and yada, yada, yada. But she said, you know what? I still thank God. I have a car. I have a place to stay dry. I got a roof over my head. And I was like, you know, not many people standing out in pouring rain changing a flat tire would be thanking God for what they do have. And that's what Peter is saying here. He is saying, even though in the midst of all of these afflictions and these sufferings that you will have as a Christian, you still in the midst of it all glorify God. Not to be ashamed and not to hide and cower down, but Peter charges us to glorify God. Think not of what it means to you, but think about what it means to God in the midst of suffering to glorify Him. Remember when we talk about how he slipped into, as he went from being a coward and saying, I don't know this man, I don't know this man, and following Christ from afar off, how he went and sat down with the people and warmed himself by their fire, where he slipped into that worldliness, right? If you want to flip back to chapter 2 of 1 Peter and verse number 11, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Peter tells us here to abstain, right? To set apart from this worldliness, this worldly ideas, and to remember that we are only pilgrims, that we are destined for this better place than the things that this world has to offer. There is nothing in this world that would ever be able to replace an eternity in heaven, to make me want to swap, if you will. You know, this is not a deal or no deal situation. This is, I know what awaits me, and that's what Peter is talking about here. And so as we travel this land and travel through this life, that we are to be friendly to those around us, that we are to not slip into and be as them. Notice what it says, whereas they speak against you as evildoers. They may be your good works, which they shall behold. Glorify God. To simply glorify Him. Instead of denial. You remember that final step that we talked about? We've already had an issue of pride. We've got lazy, right? Not diligent. We become cowardly towards the things of God. And we slip into that worldliness where everything is okay, right? I'm comfortable. I'm doing as I want to do, and I'm living my best life. And there was another one that apparently it's been around for quite some time, but you know, I'm not up to date on all of the terminology. I learn new things every week in the school system. But there was YOLO, right? Y'all have heard of that? You only live once, right? That's their mentality. You only live once, do it, right? Well, if you do certain things, that may be true. You lived only once because it's over with, right? That's how worldly we have become, to do as we please and do what we want as long as we feel good, right? Don't go to that church where that preacher preaches because you ain't going to feel good when you leave there. That kind of thing. We get so worldly and we're so comfortable with the things of the world. We're much like Peter in warming ourselves with their fire. But what does Peter say when it comes to denial? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That is, to me, a very powerful verse. Peter went from denying Christ at the crucifixion, right, the time of crucifixion, and now he's exhorting us to be ever ready, to always be ready to give this defense. And notice what he says also there in verse 15. He says, "For every man or everyone that asks you of that reason, the reason of the hope that is in you." But also notice how he ends that verse. He says, you know, you need to tell them the reasoning for your hope, right? And we have so many reasons and so many things that we could perhaps boast about, right? That God has, in His great mercy and His great love, has loved us, even the most sinful, vile, wretched individual that we are. You know, us using Isaiah's words. I tell you all the story one time about the preacher that preached and talked about how we were all filthy and wretched and as sheep is counted for the slaughter, just we us go down to the slaughterhouse and be killed off because we are just dirty, nasty individuals. And one of the members of the church got mad at him because he preached that, because she felt like he was calling them that. And so the next week he preached a sermon similar to that, and he said, "I want you to know that Paul said this, and so if you have issue with it, you need to take it up with Paul and God, not me, right? So as wretched as we are, we know that God saved us, delivered us, set us free, right? And then furthermore, he promises us this place in heaven where there's mansion after mansion after mansion that is built. Some translation says there's a great room. To me, it really doesn't matter just being in the presence of God. Where there's street, or some say there's streets and plural, or where there's just one street of gold. Where there's a land that flows with milk and honey. Where there's an all-you-can-eat buffet of food, right? There's plenty of things going on. There's an all-angelic choir that sings all the day long. I've often wondered, I wonder if there's a piano there. Is it gold-plated? Is it like a Liberace-type setting where there's gold-plated pianos and organs everywhere? All these people musically inclined. But I like what Peter says, because there's enough about heaven to make you want to go there, right? All of that splendor, the beauty of the perhaps the grass and the vegetation and the trees and all of that beauty, and no need of the sun or moon, because why? Jesus is the light. Peter says this. He says, you can tell them, give them the answer for that reason that you have, that hope that you have. But to guard ourselves against doing it in a very prideful and boastful manner, he says, with meekness and fear. With meekness and fear. Fear not in the sense of trembling and afraid, but fear in the sense of reverence. Do it with meekness and reverence. By careful preparation, we can defend Christ and not deny Christ. And we can share that hope. You know, the Baptist back in Mississippi, some of the, they were Southern Baptists, but they were, I call them a different breed. They were very fundamentalist type and a strong, almost, they wasn't independent, but they were almost independent. And they used to have this banner, this flag that would fly at revivals and camp meeting type situations that have the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And I always liked that. Because, dear friend, it's all about the message contained in the book, right? It's the blood, the precious blood of Christ that was shed for us, and that blessed hope that we have within us. And how exciting it is to share, because I can tell you, friend, as you very well know, when you have that excitement about you, other people want to know why, right? Why are you so happy? Why are you in the midst of all the troubles and trials and the depression, and you see all these things on TV day in and day out? Why are you so happy? And Peter tells us to share that hope, but to do it with meekness. It's like that old, it's not an old song, it's more of a contemporary song that says, let me tell you about my Jesus. I love that song. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about this place he has prepared for me and for all of those who are redeemed by his grace. We can prepare for that, defending Christ and not denying him. From one who learned by the hard road of experience, let's heed his advice today. Hopefully none of us will backslide ourselves and in doing so come to the point where we deny the Lord. Remember also that when Peter saw the eyes of his Lord, he realized the error that he had made. But fortunately for Peter, there was still time to repent. But for us, when we see Jesus face to face, dear friend, the time to repent will be gone. It will be a time of judgment. It's like the song that I sing. That song is, it's a sad song, right? It cuts deep to the core and the mentality of so many people. I've got plenty of time, right? I'm a young man. I keep telling myself that, and I know compared to some that I am still a young man, but you know, when I'm working with 19 and 20-year-olds at the side job, and you know, I'm like, good grief, you know, I was like graduating high school when y'all were being born, right? 37 years old, and I'm still young, right? But I think about those that are younger, and perhaps the first time I heard that song, I think I was like 17 or 18, and I think, my gracious, I am a young man, not yet in my prime. I still got plenty of time. That song is based on an individual who grew up in church his entire life. And they kept telling him, you know, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. He heard it Sunday after Sunday, and his response was, I've got plenty of time. I'm just a young man. 19 or 20 year old. Gets in his car one day and drives down the highway and has an automobile accident, and it kills him. And the author of this song, the writer of the song, put that last verse in there. Now I've got plenty of time to think about what life would have been like had Christ been mine. I believe one of the torments of hell is hearing that message over and over and over and over and over for all eternity, the message of Christ and His blood. Now granted, there are other torments, don't misunderstand me. But I often think about how tormentous would that be to know you could have done something. But instead our pride and our denial and our worldliness gets in the way. I've got plenty of time. When we see Christ face to face, that time is gone. When Christ calls, when that trumpet sounds and God calls His children home, that time is gone. It's a time of judgment. If we realize this morning, perhaps, that we are guilty of backsliding, can I urge you and plead with you, not just those here in the sanctuary, but also those that may be listening, encourage you today to repent. To repent now. Don't wait before you stand before Christ. To do it now so that your face-to-face encounter with the Lord will be terrific and not terrifying. God forbid I know of anyone that hears the words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. What daunting words those are, when it's very simple and we can hear the words, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Where do you stand today? Perhaps you're not fully backslidden like Peter, and you haven't gone to the worldly or maybe even denial stage, but perhaps you're getting close. I remember my grandfather, it was somewhat of a joke, but of course me taking things theologically sometimes a little too far with him. And nonetheless, he was saved, and then he kind of got... Well, there was no kind of, he was flat out worldly, right? But in his latter years, he did repent, and I'm thankful that I have full assurance that when he slipped into eternity, that he was a saved man. His life was evident of that in his later years. But nonetheless, he would always have conversations on the front porch of his house when I'd go visit him, and he had a problem with cigarettes, and he would smoke a lot, all right? And he would tell me that he tried to quit, and he'd pick it back up, and then he'd quit, and then he said, the more I pick it up, the worse it got, and this, that, and the other. And those final years, he finally was able to lay them down. But nonetheless, he would always tell me, he said, I'm going to heaven. He said, now, I may be smelling like smoke when I get there, but I'm going to heaven. Do we know within our hearts that we're ready? I'm not worried about our problems. I was talking with a pastor this week about some people that's been coming to his church, and he said some of the members are a little upset about them being there, and he said, but I can't consciously turn them away. And I said, well, what kind of people are they? And he said, well, the husband is fully tatted, meaning tattoos everywhere. And he said, and the wife is pierced everywhere along with the tattoos. And he said, people are not happy. And he said, they don't cause problems. They come in, they sit two pews from the back, they attend service, and they leave. That's all they do. There's no that's not much interactions. There's not no problems. And he said, I can't consciously turn them away. And I said, you shouldn't. Dear friend, if there's a change that needs to happen in the heart of someone, guess who does that? God, right? It's not for us. Where is our heart today? Are we willing to reach out to those who are different and look different than we are? Or are we too prideful and too set in our ways that perhaps we in our minds think that they're not redeemable? Where's our hearts? Can you imagine if Jesus turned us away for any condition that we had? You know, we weigh too much. We don't weigh enough. You're too broke, too poor, or maybe you have too much money. You wear the wrong name brand of clothes. You do your makeup wrong. You don't wear enough makeup. You wear too much makeup. You shouldn't fix your hair like that. Are we really, is that really how God looks at us? Where's our heart? I encourage you, if you are in that steady decline toward backslidden state, that you repent and repent before it's too late. And also that God would give us the grace and the love to share His gospel with all that we come in contact with. We'll extend one hymn of invitation, just one verse. This is your opportunity to do business with God. Maybe it is salvation, maybe a time of rededication, repentance. Maybe it's asking the Lord for strength. God, help me to maybe go beyond my comfort zone. And Lord, just help me to be a witness. God, you bring the conversation up. How many times does that happen where we don't know what to say, but it happens? You know, they bring it up or you bring it up, however conversation may go. Whatever it is, as we sing, will you come? minds and hearts are clear? If not, I'm here for you. Be glad to talk with you, pray with you, whatever we need to do. Anything needs to be said before we dismiss? Do you remember next Sunday is communion? So prepare our hearts for that, all right? There is nothing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful, God, that we've had this time to be in your house, to worship you, to study your word, to sing the old songs of Zion. And Lord, as we go out into the world this week, we just pray that you would help us. God, that you would put a shield around us, that we not become worldly, Lord, but that we show the world that you are the light, and help us to be a witness, God, to the lost and dying that are without you. And Lord, as we go our separate ways, we pray that you would grant us safety and bring us back the next appointed time to your house. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.